Thank you, everyone. Oh, it just makes me so happy to see everybody's faces. What a delight. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. So you're welcome, if you don't mind, to remute your microphone and we can go ahead and begin. And I just wanted to share that it really is a powerful thing that we come together in this way. And I saw the other day a preview for a movie. It's called Sully. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's a Tom Hanks movie where he plays the pilot who lands the airplane on the Hudson River and saves all these people's lives. And what caught my ear about the preview was when Tom Hanks said, you know, there's so many souls on board the plane. And I thought, well, that's so interesting in that industry, they refer to people as souls. And there's something more poignant about that, about seeing ourselves in that way. And I really think it matters, each one of us, each one of our presence, when we come together for these sits and join our souls, so to speak. So I'm really glad that you're all here. And so I think you all know me already. And so I thought I'd just share a quick update of a new thing that I'm up to. And that is that I'm also offering live meditations Monday through Thursday from 11 to 11:30. And it's accessible on a Facebook group that I started called Many Mindful Moments. So in those sits, I'm basically guiding more of the meditation. And so it's a really good opportunity for folks who are less experienced to have a chance to learn and practice. If you know of anyone, feel free to let them know. It's on a Donna basis, and any funds that I receive, I'm offering, as well as I will be for tonight, I'm offering to a organization that's raising funds to help Indigenous peoples. So, and then of course, as you know, Donna, so it's free to those who are in need. And now I just encourage you to allow yourself to take a restful stance. You're welcome to close your eyes if you like. And I encourage you to just stay in your body as you listen to the talk. It's a wonderful practice for us to remember as we have our interpersonal relations with one another, to stay aware of our own body, our own breath as we engage. And so tonight's talk is titled Finding Motivation by Connecting with Ardency. And it's also a call to action. So I wish Brian was here because he could help me with the pronunciation of this, but in the language of the Buddha in Pali, there's a term that's called Tina Nida. And I'm totally guessing on the pronunciation of that, but the meaning is sloth and torpor. And this is one of the hindrances that we encounter with our practice and in our day-to-day lives. And some of you may be really familiar with it. It's my go-to for sure in my meditation practice. And it's basically this state of dullness, of sleepiness, of heaviness, where there's no clarity and no energy and no light in our mind. It's like everything is murky and confusing, and we can feel disconnected. We get daydreamy and complacent and bored. And the boredom specifically oftentimes comes because we're so accustomed to experiencing progressive levels of change, of things varying. And so when that doesn't happen, it feels like boredom. And so the reason that I wanted to talk about this tonight is that, you know, I work as a counselor, and so I have the opportunity to talk with a fair amount of people throughout my week. And a common theme is sloth and torpor. Many, many people are finding themselves blessed by getting to work at home, but also finding it difficult to motivate to do some of the very basic things. And by that, I mean putting on their day pajamas from their night pajamas as they go from the bedroom to the living room. I even had one person who said to me that he took a couple days break from brushing his teeth. And there's all the other things that we fall into, like sleeping in or binging on Netflix until there's none left, or just getting lost in the internet, overeating. I've been hearing about a fair amount of daytime drinking going on. And then just this sense of like forgetting what day it is. Like there's this surreal effect on time that people seem to be experiencing right now. And it really does seem like we're turning into sloths. So that may not be true for all of you. Some of you may be the folks who experience the hindrance of restlessness. And so you may have extraordinarily clean homes with the cabinets all organized and the labels all facing out, and underneath it, a feeling of anxiety and rest, you know, that restless feeling. And so I'll be talking more about that next week in the Thursday night talk. But perhaps you'll still find some benefit from this subject. So with sloth and torpor, it can have this seductive side too, where there's this little voice that says, you know what? I think the kind thing to do right now would be to take a nap. I think that's really going to be the right thing. But when we open our eyes and practice some discernment, we can come to realize that perhaps we're actually avoiding something difficult. And that can really be the case with sloth and torpor, that it serves to be a way of avoiding difficulty. And it's what arises when we don't want to face what's happening. And so I was reading an author named Ashoka recently, and he said that some people may be very skillful in meeting the challenges of the world, but when they turn inward, they retreat from their difficulties and then fall into the dullness of the mind. And some people are good at meeting their own inner difficulties, but when faced with challenges of the world, they find themselves pulling back and retreating. And it just seems so relevant to this pandemic that we're all experiencing right now. And so our practice is to observe how this hindrance manifests itself in all of its different forms. And then, as best we can, to meet that with skillful means. What we need to do is practice that discernment to identify, is this compassionate or is this avoiding? And it's also to refine our attention. So it turns out that an antidote to boredom is attention, that when we look closely at the moment can actually be quite captivating. So I have to make a confession to all of you. I am a recovering clumsy person. I used to bump into every object that I possibly could. I swear my elbows were black and blue from all of the things that I would bang into. And no one would ever let me wash a wine glass because there's no doubt I was going to drop it and break it. And luckily, with this practice of mindfulness and learning more awareness of my body, developing some sense of grace, I am now allowed to wash the wine glasses. But a funny thing happened the other day, and I was walking past my laptop with a shawl like this, and the shawl caught the power cord of the laptop. And the next thing I knew, my laptop went crashing down to the floor. And I just stood there like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. And it was 10 minutes before one of those live feeds of a guided meditation. Luckily, I just went with it and was able to turn it back on because it had gone off. I was able to not freak out that the screen was flashing weird colors. And somehow everything came together right as it was time for the sit. So that was, phew, a good thing. But then later in the day, I was working and just absentmindedly smacked my hand into my cup of tea, spilled it all over, making a huge mess at an inopportune moment of conversation. And in the same day, I managed to open a container of hummus and drop it on the floor, face down, hummus everywhere. So the good news is I have two Hoover vacuum cleaners known as Tama and Raja, my doggies. They were happy to help me with that problem. But all of these just absent-minded, clumsy moments in one day were, I took them as a message, right? A message that I was, number one, not being mindful, and that I needed to wake up, pay attention to what I was doing. And so I was taking that in and reflecting on it. And I had this amazing moment of clarity in that same day. And I was pouring a glass of water, and it was from a special water jug that I have in my kitchen. And it was filled with Sedona spring water. And so fresh, right out of the earth. And there was just this moment where time seemed to stop. And I could see the glass. I could just see the glass in the light and the reflection of the room behind it and the way that the light danced with the water. And I could hear the sound of the water pouring and watch it flow. And I just had this moment of awareness. And it was not only awareness of what was happening with the water, but it was awareness of being aware. And it was so profound. And it brought such gratitude to my heart for this practice. Gratitude that I get to return to mindfulness. And it reminded me why I'm so passionate about this practice too. So I wanted to take a moment to read you an excerpt from a beautiful chant. It's a Buddhist chant called the Great Bell Chant. And I really recommend, if you have a moment, to watch a video of it on YouTube. It's just stunning and heartwarming. And so it goes, listening to the bell, I feel the afflictions in me begin to dissolve. My mind calm, my body relaxed. A smile is born on my lips. My breath brings me back to the safe island of mindfulness. In the garden of my heart, the flowers of peace bloom beautifully. So particularly in this time where we are reminded that the future is unknown, mindfulness can be a place of refuge. And when we are not mindful, when we're not aware, then we often get lost in unwholesome reactions, creating suffering for ourselves and for others. So one of my teachers, Howie Kohn, he encourages a practice called fierce mindfulness. And I learned about it when on meditation retreat with him. And so he would say that as the bell rings and it's time to stand up from your pillow, that the practice continues. It does not end. It merely is changing form. And that we can carry the same level of attention to all of the actions that follow. And so for those of you who have been on retreat before, it's really this opportunity from the moment we awaken until the moment that we go to bed to practice mindfulness with all things. There's no cell phones, no computers. It's just a matter, an opportunity to immerse into the present moment. And all of the daily moments of our lives can be an opportunity to continue our practice, to engage in mindfulness. And so another way to think about this is that we can find motivation for practicing more mindfulness in our day-to-day life, for wearing dress clothes in our office meetings, by engaging with a practice called ardency, that the Buddha referred to as ardency. And so what is this? This thing called ardency. Joseph Goldstein shares that being ardent implies having a balanced and sustained attention and effort. And it also suggests having a warmth of feeling, a passionate and strong enthusiasm. Or devotion, because we realize the value and importance of something. He says that spiritual ardency is the wellspring of a courageous heart. It gives us the strength to continue through all the difficulties of the journey. So we can apply this idea of ardency to help motivate us for our fierce mindfulness. We can engage in this way because we love to be mindful. And now I know I'm saying we, and perhaps that's not true for everyone. So I want to validate that. But I just want to suggest that being mindful can be fun. And it comes with so many intrinsic rewards. When we put our full attention to the present moment, we can feel the aliveness of that moment. It's like life shows its HD nature. So it's happening all the time, but we're just not paying attention. So we just have to open our eyes, open our senses to experience the magnificence of this. And really, isn't this whole process about unlearning the conditioning of our lifetimes? About connecting to a younger version of ourselves, of beginner's mind? Children are professionals at having a sense of wonder at the present moment. They know. They know. So this is not to say that we're supposed to be having fun all the time or to over-positive our lives. This is a time of a great collective grief. And there's no getting around that. Really, the only way out is through, as they say. And further, many people's lives are filled with circumstances that are really difficult. And many people are struggling to meet their basic needs or know of someone who's been affected by this virus. And for this, I encourage as best we can the practice of facing our fears, of turning toward what scares us, what hurts us, what pains us. And to do this with a gentle support, with loving kindness and compassion in our hearts. And as I say this to you, it's also a reminder to myself that this is a way that we can move through these difficult times. And something that also gives me comfort is that I can remember in each moment that there is a place of refuge, that with each breath, I can have a sense of appreciation for the capacity to breathe, that with each movement of my hand or noticing of an object, a beautiful flower, that I can appreciate the sense of sight, smell. And I can connect to a sense of gratitude. So we have been in a state of sloth and torpor as citizens of this planet, frozen by a feeling of powerless and overwhelm, by self-deception, knowing that our overconsumption and disregard for the impact of our choices has been crippling the Earth's health and vitality. And many of us are finding ourselves falling back into that state once again. However, we're being given the opportunity to wake up in a thousand different ways. Maybe it's the freedom to be able to work from home, or the appreciation of the freedom of movement now that we're being asked to shelter in place. Or perhaps it's the appreciation for being able to gather as friends now that we're being asked to minimize our contact. Or appreciation for the internet that lets us do this. Or perhaps you're waking up to the realization and admiration for Mother Earth as she takes a breath and has a chance to just have a sense of respite from humankind's abuse and neglect. Or perhaps we're awakening to the seemingly impossible idea that it is possible to stop war. We can turn this into an opportunity to rise above the states of sloth and torpor that rob us of our energy. We can capitalize on this sense of ardency by living our practice, by choosing to stay awake. And we can bring joy to the process. Why not turn the day-to-day moments and turn to them with excitement and enthusiasm, with curiosity and delight? We can invite our childlike selves into the moment and immerse ourselves into the here and now with appreciation for what's here, for the beauty that's here. When we awaken, we can say, "Thank you. I get to be alive another day." And when we put our feet on the floor, thank you that I can stand up, that I can walk, that I can make a cup of tea. And then we can just enjoy each one of those things by opening our senses and applying our practice of mindfulness. So let us find our laughter and our smiles while still honoring the collective grief that we're experiencing. We can welcome and honor all of it. And also let ourselves be a source of inspiration for others. We can lead through compassion and kindness. When we go to the store and there's masks, we can show our kindness and care with our eyes. We can practice patience and understanding with one another. And we can keep our minds and our hearts clear and committed to protecting this planet as the decisions are made moving forward. And so that is my hope for all of us, that we can remember to turn to our practice as a place of refuge and as a source of inspiration in the days to come. And so now we're going to be engaging in our sitting practice together. So it'll be about 25 minutes of meditation and then a loving kindness practice for the last 5 minutes. You're welcome to stretch, stand up. And so I'll walk us all in to the meditation together, knowing that there may be a range of experience levels here tonight. And I encourage those of you who are experienced practitioners to connect to your stories of patience as I share these guiding prompts. So please feel free to take a seated posture, sitting tall, connecting to a sense of dignity and grace. And just open your senses to the present moment, letting go of the day, letting go of what's to come, and just noticing your body sitting. Listening to the sounds in the room. Listening to the sound of the bell. Bringing a sense of relaxation, softening the body, and allowing the attention to rest on the breath. May we find refuge in our breath and in our practice together tonight. And for those of you who find your minds wandering, just know that that's normal and okay. Allow yourself So just return to the breath. You may notice that you become distracted by a sound or thinking. You might just make a note that that happened and then just return to the breath. And now I invite you to join me on a guided meditation, a loving kindness practice. You're welcome to change your posture to a more comfortable position. To stretch. For this practice, it can be helpful to have a place of ease in your body. This is our opportunity to practice allowing our minds to be friends and allies, so we can use our imagination to cultivate positive emotions in our hearts. And so I invite you to envision someone that you might like to send loving kindness to in this moment. Someone that's an easy relationship that brings a smile to your lips when you think about them. You might place a hand over your heart to connect to that place in our body where we feel the feelings of loving kindness. And then I'll say a phrase, and you're welcome to repeat that phrase silently as if you're communicating to that individual, taking a nice long breath between each line. And so we'll begin. May you be well. May you be healthy and safe. May you be free from inner and outer harm. May you be peaceful and happy. And may you be free. And now, practicing self-compassion. Allow your mind and hearts to be open to receiving your own good wishes. Remembering this as we move through our days and engage with those troubling moments. This is the practice that can help support us. May I be well. May I be healthy and safe. May I be free from inner and outer harm. May I be peaceful and happy. And may I be free. And now envisioning our friends and family. people that we care about, and this. Inviting in our friends, our neighbors, the people here on this call tonight. Let us open our minds and our hearts and send out our loving kindness to people in other countries, across the oceans, to the souls that are struggling in this moment, that are caught by fear, that are challenged to breathe, let us send our loving kindness to all these souls and to the children that are inheriting our decisions. We send you our loving kindness tonight. May you be well. May you be healthy and safe. May you be free from inner and outer harm. May you be peaceful and happy. And may you be free. May this planet continue to awaken. May we all find compassion and kindness in our hearts. May we remember our interconnectedness and that we are never alone. That in every moment, there's someone somewhere sending us their loving kindness.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.